Good morning, everyone. It's actually really good to say good morning on Sunday. Since last Sunday, we've been studying the book of Nehemiah, right? And actually, there are a lot of books in the Old Testament, just like the book of Nehemiah. The book title is actually named after a person's name, right? So for example, it's like Jonah, the book of Jonah, right? Or what else? Jeremiah, right? Or Haggai, or Zechariah. So there are a lot of Old Testament books. Their titles is named after the main character of that story or the book, right? And actually, if you pay attention to those books, there are some structured pattern in it, in those books. And I can give you an example. For example, like Jonah. The structural pattern is that in the chapter one of these books, they use a phrase saying that the word of the Lord came to this person. So Jonah said, chapter one, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. And go to the Nineveh and preach against them. And the rest of the story is about how Jonah responds to that God's call. Another example, the book of Jeremiah, chapter one, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, and I want to appoint you as a prophet, and this is a message I want you to deliver, and the rest of the story is about how Jeremiah, responds to God's call. Sometimes it's faithful, sometimes it was struggle. Same thing with the book of Haggai. The word of the Lord came to Haggai, or Zechariah. The word of the Lord came to Zechariah. So these books is amazing and really inspiring stories, and there's a God's message in those books. But for me, to be very honest with you, it's kind of hard to relate to, right? It's really hard to relate to because they receive the word of the Lord very clearly without no doubting, right? But I never really heard the voice of God in the same way Jonah heard or Jeremiah heard. How about you? How many of you guys heard the voice of God, came to you in the same way it came to Haggai or Zechariah or Jonah or Jeremiah, right? So I love those books, but it's kind of hard to relate to. The reason I mention this is because the book of Nehemiah is different. We studied the chapter 1, but it's different because the whole chapter 1, the phrase that the word of the Lord came to Nehemiah, is not there. It didn't tell us in a way that it actually came from God. It didn't. What happened? It's simply the one day Nehemiah heard a story from his brother, a story about there's a people far from the city, they are suffering. That's all. Is that right? It didn't say the word of the Lord came to Nehemiah. It says the Nehemiah one day, he had a visit from his brother from Jerusalem, and he shared that the people in Jerusalem, they are suffering. They are having really, really hard time. And that was it. So I can relate to Nehemiah. And I hope you can relate to Nehemiah too, because that happened to us, right? Maybe that happened to us. Every day or weekly, you heard from your coworkers, your friend, your cousins, even from your parents, where your church community is saying that, oh, there's someone that I know who struggled. There's someone that I know who's having really, really hard time. There's someone that I know who's having a suffering. Right? So I can relate to this book, the book of Nehemiah. And also, I can relate to this book, the book of Nehemiah, because the Nehemiah was not a prophet nor priest. He was just an ordinary career person. And whose job was what? Cupbearer, right? And what does cupbearer do? I want to demonstrate it. So let's say I am a cupbearer, right? And one day, a king who's sitting right here wants to have some drink, right? So what do I do as a cupbearer? Oh, I get that inform from the royal kitchen. Oh, today king wants to have some wine. And I say, okay, then I go to the kitchen where they bring me and the wine and a cup. Probably there'll be two cups, one cup for me and one cup for the king, right? And then I pour the wine first. By the way, is this a wine or not? I won't tell you, okay? Right? And then before I serve the wine, I taste it first. Oh, it's pretty good. By the way, don't drink too much, okay? And then, if it just tastes good, then I serve this wine to the king, right? But if there's a poison, then I will die or I will seriously get damaged in my body, right? So the Nehemiah, not a prophet, not a priest, just an ordinary guy. So I can relate to this person. So one day, from chapter 1, that he heard from his brother, said, there's a people who's having a really, really hard time. And then Nehemiah responded to that situation with fasting and prayer. But he didn't stop there. He fasted and he prayed for them, and he even repent on the behalf of them, but he didn't stop there. He decided to take that situation voluntarily as God's invitation for him, even though it didn't say. Through prayer, through petition, through fasting, he voluntarily, willingly take that situation as God's invitation. He owns it. Last Sunday, Pastor Tyler also explained to us that there's a time interval between chapter 1 and chapter 2. Actually, between chapter 1 and chapter 2, there were about 4 months of time interval, like 120 days. So my question, as I read this passage and pray over it, like, what was Nehemiah doing during this time? We knew that he prayed. We knew that he fasted. What else he did? About 10 years ago, when I took the seminary course at the Canadian Southern Baptist Seminary, and there's one course, it's about pastoral ministry. And then during the course that I remember, the professor says that in order to be part of God's work, in order to be part of God's ministry, you need three things. And they are willpower, way power, and weight power. What are those three things? Willpower, way power, weight power. Willpower means basically your willingness to accept the certain situation that is happening in your life as God's invitation. That's willpower. And way power is to find out practical way to respond to that situation. That's way power. And weight power, you have a willingness, and you know your part, how to contribute or how to respond practically to. And weight power is to wait for the right time to act it out. Nowadays, I'm studying counseling, taking my second master's degrees of counseling. And I read recently a very interesting research about counseling. The research title is basically about what was the most necessary thing for our wounded soul on an individual to experience healing in the context of counseling. What was the most necessary things that a person to experience the healing in the context of the counseling? And it says, the willingness of that individual to get better has about 15% of effect, okay? 15%, 15. And then counselors, counseling techniques, he knows how to approach, what to say, how to ask questions, has about another 15% effort. And the relationship between counselor and counselee, it influences another 30%. So 15%, 15%, and 30%, and rest of it, 40%, the biggest pie. So I was, you know, I was reading it, I was excited, like, so where does the rest of the 40% of the impact come from? You know what the answer is? Their friend. If that individual has a friend who can offer listening ears, if that individual have a friend who are willing to walk with that individual person, their high and lows, it influences 40% of the healing. So if you know, like someone who are struggle, if you know somebody from your work, from church community, where your family, where your friends, that you know that someone is struggle, someone having really hard time, who can help? It is you, if you are willing. I believe during 4 months of prayer, Nehemiah began to realize that it is God's invitation for me to respond to this situation. And I'll own it. Even there's nothing directly related to me, but I'll own it. Thank you for that invitation. And then, way power. During the 4 months of time, Nehemiah still, began to explore and also probably ask around, what are the practical way that I can respond to this situation that the wall of Jerusalem is completely broken and people are suffering? And then as we read the scripture, we get the hint. John, if you show me the very last slide. First, he found out the route from Susa to Jerusalem. And then he realized that there's a river that he has to cross to get to the Jerusalem, which is the Euphrates River. And then also he found that not everyone can cross that river. You have to have a permission. He did some research. And he also found out during that 4 months of time that where, so let's say I cross the river, I get there. Where can I get all the materials to rebuild the temple, rebuild the wall, rebuild the gate? Where can I get those timber? And then he found out, oh, the royal park has all the materials there. And then he went one step further, then who's in charge of the royal park? Whose name? Asa. Right? Okay. To get to the Jerusalem, I need to cross over the Euphrates River. And then I need the permission to actually build the temple and the wall of Jerusalem and its gate. I need the materials, and I can get the material from who has the material? The royal park. Who's in charge of the royal park? Asaph. Right. Then who have authority to tell these two groups to give me the permission to cross and to get the material? The king. Then who has a direct access to the king? It's me. Isn't that amazing? Way power. And the last one is the way power. So did he tell him right away? No. He waited and waited, waited for the right timing. He waited for the situation in which the king is most likely listen to this person. Actually, he waits for three conditions to meet. The first condition is, guess what? He waited the day the king wants to have a wine. Obviously, if the king doesn't want to drink, when the king said, oh, I'm sorry, I keep drinking, you don't have direct access, right? He has to wait for the day the king wants to have a wine, right? But not just the day that he wants to drink a wine, But also, he has to wait for the day that the king, he is in good mood, so that he can actually listen to other people's, like, you know, their story, and can ask a question. If king is stressed out, but wants to have a drink, he probably just passed. And then actually scripture reveals it. Because the verse 1 and 2, it says that he never been sad before the presence of God up until this point, after 4 months passed. During the time, Nehemiah was sad, right? Right? Because he heard what's going on. But every time when he approached the king, he didn't show the sadness. But when those conditions are coming together, king wants to have a drink, he's in good mood. And the last one, you know what that is? King was in good mood, wants to have a drink with a queen. Right? It's very interesting. The scripture described that the queen was with a king. Why? Okay, fathers, why? When you have some drinks in a good mood, right? You want to show how good person you are to your loved one. Right? Everything you said, and you can take it back, but there's a witness right there. So he waited for these three conditions to meet. And the one day, all these three conditions were there. And then he took the action. That moment, king asked the question to the Nehemiah, why you look so sad? Or king, this is why I'm so sad. My ancestors, they are having a really hard time up there. What do you need? I want to go and help. And actually, and then he all shares the way powers that he knows. Actually, to get there, I need a permission from you. Can you write a letter so that I can cross the river? And also, the reason I'm visiting is to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. I need the material. And the material is in the royal park, and the Asaph is in charge. Can you write a letter for me? And king said, sure. The king said, everything that Nehemiah asked, yes to all. And the Nehemiah described it that moment as that the gracious hands of God was with me when I acted out my faith. Amen. And actually, there's a bonus. Not only king answered to Nehemiah's request, the king also shared his own private military army, which Nehemiah didn't ask. God's favor was upon him. Okay. And I want to send a couple of my military officers with you, and also cavalry. Isn't that amazing? I'm going to conclude my sermon. Would you stand with me, please? In the beginning of the sermon, I said, you can probably relate to the Nehemiah. Because what happened to Nehemiah, it happened to us very often. Probably even this past week, you heard somebody who's going through some hardships, someone who's going through some difficulties, maybe in his work life or family life, or someone far from you, in living in another city, or Toronto or Vancouver, your relatives, your cousins, I don't know, but you just heard that that person is going through some hardship. How would you respond to that? I bet because you and I, we are people of God, we first respond to that situation with prayer and also fasting. But I want to challenge you. I want you to take one step further. In your prayer, maybe we can take that as God's invitation for us. And then begin to pray for the wisdom that in what way I can actually help that individual or group of people. And they wait for the right time. And you know when the right time is and the right time comes. And you responded. You acted out. And that moment, the Lord's favor, the God's gracious hand is with you. Even though that moment, that somehow, not like a Nehemiah, like everything is not answered, but the Lord's favor was still with you. You know why? That moment, your faith was grown to the faith that's in action. And I think that's a lesson we can learn from the Nehemiah. I want to invite you to close your eyes. And in this moment of a prayer, maybe 1 or 2 minutes, the picture of the person that you know who's in need, who struggles. And why don't you take our very first step? Pray for that person. Pray for that individual. Pray for God's healing and restoration will come to that person. Let us pray together. Gracious Father God, we thank you. We thank you for your word. And we thank you for your invitation, Lord. Father, actually, you've been sending a lot of invitation to me and probably to all of us. And I pray that through hearing these words that come from you, Lord, I pray that we have faith to take that opportunity as your invitation and own it. And the wisdom that comes from you that we'll find a way, how can we support or help the people who need you. And that when the time comes, Lord, you give us courage to act it out. And we put our trust in you at the moment because your gracious hand is with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Faithful one, so